It's Thursday, August 2nd, 2018, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 231, The Ninja Encounter. Runtime for this episode is 55 minutes. That can split into three, like a ninja. My name is Jeremy.
Secret art. Introduction no jutsu. I'm Tyler.
My name is Zach.
So we're not splitting into three, but listeners might remember that Gundam podcast we did a preview of like 6 months ago now.
Say what now?
Yeah, you know, that one thing that we do like once every harvest moon where we get together and talk about Gundam Seed?
Oh, I thought we, Really? That's what we're doing? Oh, that explains why the mics don't go away. Oh, I got it.
So we are launching our brand new podcast, It's a Gundam, talking about every episode of Gundam Seed in order, because it's one of Jeremy's favorite anime, and he wanted to make Tyler watch it.
To be fair, it is pretty good.
It is. It's not Code Geass, frankly. I haven't watched Code Geass now, but...
But we will be launching that podcast starting, hopefully, if everything goes right, this Monday, August 6th.
So do we want to pull back the curtain a little bit? Because, like, how long have we been recording that? Almost 2 years?
Almost 2 years. Oh, I'm so mortal. My bones. They're turning to dust.
And at one point I was thinking, hey, we're close enough. We should be finished by the end of the year. Man, how naive I was. This was last year.
There's an episode where I talk about watching the first episode of Iron-Blooded Orphans, which has been over for over a year.
Seriously?
So I'd just like to point out, this show has gotten exponentially better over time, or our show has gotten exponentially better over time, because we've been working on it for 2 years. We've learned how to make podcasts pretty well in 2 years.
But before that, as a preview, we are going to be launching a new website, still at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, or if that's too much of a mouthful for you, lastpodcasts.com.
Because now we do more than one podcast, guys.
That should be up on Saturday the 4th. So if you can't access our website for some reason...
Because I screwed up.
Yes. Just try hitting refresh as much as possible. That always works.
Or if you're having trouble, just find our Discord and let us know.
That is true. We do still have a link to the Discord on the old one, which won't be accessible if the website screws up, now that I think about it.
Yeah, but that'll it's easy enough to locate.
That is true.
So there should be an episode of Gundam One More in this feed telling you where you can get more if you want it next week. And after that, it will be in its own feed. That's the plan, at least. 5 episodes of that are going to go out next week, one every day of the week, and then it will go to weekly on Mondays.
Yeah, and so, I think we have like episodes of backlog to go through, so...
In theory, there shouldn't be any long waiting periods in between episodes.
Yeah, well... I'm editing those, so we'll see.
So to quote every Japanese businessman and Jeremy Parrish, please look forward to it.
I thought you were going to say, please understand.
No, that's when they do something wrong. That's only if we manage to have a giant break in the episodes, even though we have 40 of a backlog to work with.
Okay, so it sounds like Tyler's right. Please understand.
Yep.
Please understand. I put so many characters in this Smash Brothers game. Please don't yell at me for not putting new ones in. There are so many.
I'll take it, Sakurai. You can rest easy.
Why is Cloud with eyes from Mario 3 not included?
Also, we will be giving away fabulous prizes if you listen to our Gundam podcast and leave us a review or send us an email or something.
Why don't you tell our fantastic listeners what's in store for them?
They'll have to listen to the Gundam podcast to find out.
Well, fine then.
I'm sure that he mentions it at one point
but
I don't remember.
We definitely have mentioned it, I think, on this show before. Maybe? I don't know.
I don't think so, but maybe.
I can never remember exactly what we record on mic and the stuff that we talk about before we turn the mics on, so I sometimes get those mixed up.
So speaking of mix-ups, Zach, what have you been playing this week?
Okay, so I actually haven't really been playing a lot of League of Legends. I played some with Kevin, our old buddy Chris, and Cody and them.
Is Chris any good? How many Codys is Chris?
He's brand new, so I don't want to say one way or the other.
So like 2 Codys.
He's brand new. He's not even level 15 yet, which is why we were using him in order to get a bunch of icons and stuff.
Oh, he got further than I did. I only got to like level 10.
Well, yeah, you don't like the game. But most of my time has actually been spent playing MechWarrior Online because I hang out with a friend of mine named Devin and he watches a streamer that does a lot of MechWarrior Online stuff, and so I'm like, I want to play some MechWarrior. All right, I'll play some MechWarrior Online. And I actually found a couple of mechs I really enjoy playing, because they had a pack for like 7 mechs and stuff for $30. So I'm like, eh, whatever. I've paid more for games I didn't like, so I just like, all right, let's give this a shot and see if these are enjoyable. And I've been really, really enjoying the game. My primary mechs are all heavies. I've been using a Rifleman, a Mad Cat, and a Vulture.
Is Mad Cat a heavy?
Yeah.
I thought it was a medium.
No, that's a heavy. You might be thinking of the Miffed Kitty. Well, there's the Mad Cat, which is a heavy, the Mad Cat 2, which is an assault, and then the Mad Cat 3, which is a medium mech. I refer to it as the Miffed Kitty. Well, it fits. So I've been playing a lot of that. I took the Rifleman out for one game and immediately died and went, oh, right, it's a Rifleman. Armor is a thought and a prayer. So I beefed up its armor and like took it out and changed out its weapons load a little bit, and then took it out and immediately got 6 kills in a match. So the game is structured 12 on 12, one death combat. So picking up 6 in one game is pretty nice. But I've found I really hate Polar Highlands. That is the most boring map they made, because it's just basically an open field.
Oh, that's kind of lame.
So it's really boring, but everyone seems to love that map.
Because it's just an open field. They don't have to think about tactics or anything.
They don't have to think about tactics. Everyone just uses all kinds of LRM boats and stuff. So it's just really boring. I really like
the idea of just deploying a literal boat that's just loaded with missiles.
I think there actually is a cannon boat that does that. But like, where you're talking a lot of the specific mechs that is like all it carries is LRMs and like one laser or something like that.
Yeah, I ran into problems with that with some light mech I played once that just like its only thing was LRMs. And then you run out of ammo, and then you die.
Yeah, I mean, that isn't quite as pronounced for most people, but, like, I've been using Mad Cat C, so it's got 2 LRM-15s on it.
Otherwise known as the Petulant Kitten?
Nah, that's a Mad Cat. It's a weird one, because it's got an autocannon. It's not even a big autocannon. It's an AC-5, so...
What do you use that for? To annoy mosquitoes, or...?
Pretty much. Well, I mean, it's usually constant damage, but the main problem with it is it's an ultra autocannon, and it seems like clan autocannons are designed around jamming every other shot. So it's like, I'm going to shoot you. Click. I hate you. Like, really, I hate you. So I'm enjoying the game. It's fun. If you can find a mech you actually enjoy using, then it actually is a lot of fun. It takes a lot of time to actually learn. Because there's a lot of weird little things about it, like ducking in specific ways to take damage on still armored locations and trying to prevent damage from your, you know, kill shot areas. But it's a weirdly tactical and cover-based type of game.
I could see that.
You're trying to prevent damage, so you're, like, using buildings and stuff to hide behind and all that kind of thing. And it's interesting to me, at least, that you have this setup, because usually in Battletech, moving fast, and at least on the tabletop, moving faster is what really keeps you alive. But in this one, it's hiding behind stuff.
How does that work with the team-based combat? Like, can you coordinate efforts in any way, or...?
In theory.
Like, because I feel like if you had a team of 6, like, actually coordinated and, like, picking your enemy off one by one, it would be...
I've played on teams that have done that, which is... pretty brutal, because not even an Atlas is going to stand up to that. But there's 2 different gameplay modes. There's the faction play mode, which is basically you got to have a pre-made in order to play it to any kind of efficiency. Otherwise, you're a loner in a group of people who are coordinated and know what they're doing. And quick play, which is basically just all pug games. And I've been playing the quick play mode because I don't have anybody to really play the game with. And I generally don't like talking to people. So I don't go out of my way to, like, use my microphone and stuff like that when I'm playing the game. But I've had a couple of games that I got really, really frustrated because people would stand right behind me because you actually block movement from each other. So it's like, I'm in combat. I'm going to duck back behind the building I was hiding behind, only to get stuck on my teammate who was standing right behind me.
God damn it, Steve.
So that's one of those things that people have to be... You got to pay attention to where your positioning is in relation to your teammates. Otherwise, you'll run into them and stuff like that. Although, I gotta say, I do think the Piranha Light Mech is the most broken mech in that game, which is really kind of annoying. Because the Piranha Light Mech is annoying on the tabletop, because it doesn't really damage heavier mechs. It is an anti-infantry mech.
Oh. Huh.
It's armed with 12 machine guns, which just saw through infantry, but do absolutely, like, no damage to heavier mechs, because machine guns do 2 points of damage.
Which, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, you don't really care. But in this one, because of how the game works, machine guns in mass like that actually really, really work out. And since the mech is so short, a lot of times you can't shoot it when it gets too close to you.
So it's the odd job of the MechWarrior Online universe.
Yeah. If you can hit it before it gets close, though, it can go down in a flash. But other than that, it's too short and it saws through things too fast. I hate dealing with it. It's annoying. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I bought a couple mechs. I've got myself an urban mech that I never use. Yeah, the pack that I bought came with an Atlas, a Banshee, a Vulture, a Griffin, the Rifleman, a Firestarter, and a Trash Can.
Is it actually called a Trash Can?
It is. It's an urban mech. The variant is Street Cleaner, which is like one of their hero mechs. But the urban mech, if you actually look at it, looks like a trash can.
Excellent.
It is part of that family, along with the Flashman and the Imp.
So, theoretically, you can unlock all these mechs through not paying for it, right?
Kind of. The hero variants, which is what this particular pack that I bought, are all, like, they've got their own special patterns and whatever. Okay. But you can't buy them with the in-game money.
But you could, for example, have bought an Atlas eventually, right?
Yes, like the Mad Cat that I've been using. I bought that with in-game currency.
Okay.
Granted, if you don't have, like, their premium time, which this pack that I picked up also came with, like, a month worth of premium time, it takes a long time to do that.
What is premium time?
It basically gives you more rewards for victories and stuff like that. So I get more C-bills every time I win a game.
That makes
which
sense.
Is like, okay, cool. Like I said, it's a kind of a fun game. The maps are, they don't feel that different in some regards, but they actually are kind of interesting. The way the mechs function, it feels like you're piloting a mech. Because they torso twist and all kinds of other things. They shudder and move around a bit more. And the way they have the third person, you can actually do third person in the game, but it has this little drone that's following you around. So I thought that was neat. Yeah, it's a fun game. I'd recommend trying it, especially because it's free to play on Steam. Actually, it's just free to play in general. Other than their pay real money for these specific mechs or colors or stuff like that.
That is reminding me of the name of that game that Kevin really likes, Warframe. That's it.
I know Kevin's actually been playing a lot of Warframe because I've been playing a lot of League, and we're usually partners when we're playing League. So the fact that I'm not playing it a whole lot right now means he's usually doing something else. So,
yeah. And I know he really likes that game, and I actually really enjoyed the couple hours I played of it, but like...
It seems like a pretty good MMO. I'm just past that phase of my life.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I very rarely want to play an MMO anymore.
I didn't care for it. Like, I like the arena style that MechWarrior Online is, because, like, each game only lasts about 15 minutes or so, which is perfectly fine by me.
I think that's why I got really, really into Overwatch briefly, was how quick the matches went.
Yeah. It's very bingeable. That's why I like Splatoon, because matches are at most 5 minutes.
And in general, like, MechWarrior Online, you have a bunch of different game modes that can be played, because you've got capture each other's bases, territories, King of the Hill, kill everyone, or escort a mech. And then there's one more, but, like, that one almost never comes up, so I can never remember exactly what it is.
So,
and, like, no one likes Escort, so that one is very seldom picked.
In all the game modes, is it still you're dead for the match if you're knocked out?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So it's all one death, you're out, so a lot of the game modes kind of devolve into a death match with slightly different rules.
Yeah. No, I mean, that for, like, King of the Hill, though, that, like, gives you a runaway effect, where if you can manage to destroy one or two of the enemy's mechs, then you now have the advantage for the rest of the game.
In MechWarrior Online, because of how the game functions, it actually is very much like that in the first place, but I've had a couple games where it's like, the enemy team is up 4-0 in kills, and then you look up there again and it's 8-4, because, like, the four mechs that got killed were, like, light machines or somebody immediately died, whereas the enemy team, a lot of their mechs have been taking severe pounding.
Is there ever a reason to choose a light mech over, like, an assault mech?
Actually, there is, because the light mechs, number one, you're probably going to find a match faster, but after that, a lot of light mechs have, like, tag and, like, the piranha, so they're mainly used for assisting teammates.
They're scouts.
Mm-hmm. Or being really freaking annoying. Because I had one where I ended up losing the game, but it was me versus two enemy players, and one guy was on top of this, like, wall that runs around the map. Just, he had two large lasers and was just on top of this wall that I couldn't get on top of. And so, like, he was just sniping people out. Unfortunately, my team ended up losing that one because I couldn't get to the enemy guys and kill them fast enough. But, yeah, light mechs are tricky because of the fact that they're fast, lightly armored, and usually lightly armed in relation to bigger things.
Yeah, that's my point, though, is, like, it, wouldn't a larger thing just, like, tear through it?
If it can hit you.
Okay.
And the hit registration on some of the light mechs isn't very good, especially when it comes to lag. So, like, the light, I've had a couple of games where someone was lagging bad enough that they just kind of blinked away from me.
No, that's like the dodge build on Payday. You're just dodging bullets. Eventually your luck runs out. Speaking of which, did you ever see that explanation for, what the hell? Uncharted, maybe? Oh, no. What's Nathan Drake from?
Uncharted.
Okay, yes. The fact that he doesn't actually have a health meter, he just, his luck runs out the more bullets he would have taken.
I mean, there are some D&D suggestions that say that's what D&D hit points are.
Yeah, that's...
Eventually you just...
Well, it's like an abstraction. It's little things like getting, like, grazing hits and stuff like that, and then they run out. But, yeah, that's very different in those games as opposed to, like, MechWarrior Online, because, again... Every location has its own hit points. It does show, like, an amalgamation of how many, like, aggregate hit points you have. There's one of them that I got an achievement that was, oh, crap, I'm going to die. Like, finish a match alive with less than 40% health. Because you can lose arms and stuff. So you can actually, you can lose weapons and equipment, but still be fighting as opposed to in, like, Call of Duty where you get shot and die. And that's it. Whereas, it's like, I'm actually still in the fight. I'm dragging a leg and I'm missing an arm, but I'm not dead yet. So... It's a fun game. I would recommend taking a look at it if you have any kind of interest in games along the line, those kind of lines. Because, you know, fast matches. It's got a kind of a small community, unfortunately, because the game has been going for a while and never really took off.
It apparently has an avid player base, though.
And clearly it's enough for them to continue development on.
Yeah, because, like, they just released the Hellfire and they're releasing the Champion later this year, as well as the Vixen. And I... insist on using Innersphere names for most of these mechs because that's what they were called when they first came out. And one of them really annoys me. No one ever called it that.
I think you've told us this story at least once.
Probably.
I can't remember what the story was, but I feel like this is a familiar setup.
In the fluff, the Ebon Jaguar battle mech was developed and was new enough that absolutely no one called it the Ebon Jaguar besides the guys that used it. And they were completely wiped out. So. Everyone else just called it the Cauldronborn. So, I get confused sometimes when I look at my thing and go, what the hell is a DWF? Oh, wait, that's a Daishi. Alright, I got you. I know what I'm doing. But you haven't been playing MechWarrior Online. What kind of mech-related stuff have you been playing, Tyler?
You know, I haven't, but now I really want to play Gundam Versus, and I'm sad that I can't.
I mean, bro, get a PS4 and I will be there.
Yeah, but then I have to own a PS4.
You do.
And, like,
it is a problem.
Gundam Versus is actually pretty fun.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, and like, really, I just want a Gundam fighting game.
I mean, it exists. It's called Gundam Versus. They finally brought it to America, because, I don't know, they weren't going to bring us Mother 3. No matter how many times Adult Swim and WWE fans brought signs that said, localized Mother 3.
Well, I'm sorry, Adult Swim?
So, a lot of times, you know, people bring signs to WWE shows, right?
Yeah.
Localized Mother 3 is surprisingly common.
That is rather odd. That is
well,
not what
no,
I would have expected.
Consider the
see.
Overlap of who watches wrestling and who plays obscure Japanese video games. It's a surprisingly high overlap these days.
So there was some pay-per-view, I think, in May where someone brought a sign that was localized Mother 3, and then the next week, Adult Swim, one of their bumpers was just that guy with the sign. And they're like, come on, it's been 11 years.
That's awesome.
That actually is kind of awesome, but...
I was going to say, Adult Swim's game development team is actually pretty solid these days, too. They make some surprisingly good games.
And the fan patch for Mother 3 was 10 years ago, so it's entirely possible someone who worked on that now works at Adult Swim. I don't know for sure that's what happened, but...
But come on, guys.
And there was all that, so that time that, like, five different sources told US Gamer it was going to happen. Because five different people just decided to tell the same lie at the same time, so it seemed credible.
Just to be trolly?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's entirely possible that when that happened, they were intending to do it, but then changed their mind.
It is possible, but, like, it's the sort of thing, Nintendo would not let that happen if it, like, of America, would not let that leak if it wasn't a sure thing. Because they know what the backlash would be. Like, there is no benefit to saying, yeah, we'll do it, and not doing it.
Yeah, that's true enough. You just engender a lot of anger.
Yeah.
Or at least annoyance.
So what I have been playing is, unsurprisingly, more Enter the Gungeon. I did not know this, so I kind of, like, didn't play it for a while, and I recently picked it back up, and, like, 2 days before I picked it back up, or I guess 2 days after I picked it back up, I found an article saying, oh, hey, by the way, the free expansion is releasing tomorrow. I'm like, the what now? It is called Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
I love everything about this game. It's so good. My only lament is that it does not have online co-op. It's pretty good. It must have just added a bunch of quality of life things and a couple new bosses and a lot of new guns.
That is remarkably high of a problem for games on Steam of not having online co-op.
Which is weird because I used to complain about them not having couch co-op, and now they don't have online co-op. And
I think the main difference is that people that you're complaining about having offline or couch co-op or couch multiplayer in general, those are a lot of the console games. You usually assume a computer game is going to have online co-op, or at least competitive, or whatever, multiplayer, because you don't usually, we're kind of the exceptions of having our computers in such a place where you can actually have multiple people interacting with them.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Although I think actually a lot of people have their computers hooked up to a TV these days.
I think it is more and more common.
Well, especially as people ditch cable. That's how I get all my entertainment, is through my computer. So I don't have a whole lot more to say about that, other than that one of the bosses they added, I couldn't figure out how to beat it, even though I understood the general concept, is literally just Bowser and his clown car from the end of Super Mario World. It's not actually Bowser, and he shoots little gun-based guys instead, and, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to kick him back at him like a Koopa, because he doesn't have,
Did you try shooting them, picking them up, and throwing them at him?
Yeah, they just blow up, but, he doesn't have a health bar, so I'm sure I have to hit them at him somehow, I just couldn't figure out how.
Is
but
it Clouser in his bound car?
Oh, no, it'd all be gun-related, so it'd probably be Howitzer in his boom car? Yeah, I don't know. So, that continues to be an awesome game. What I've spent the vast majority of my time recently, though, is, I forgot, did I ever finish my Long Dark run? I don't think so.
I don't know, did you?
Yeah, I don't think I did. I don't know if I even ever mentioned it on the mics. Probably.
You did at one point.
Yeah.
I was talking about all the changes they were making.
Yeah, I tried to escape Timberwolf Mountain, and I think I saved and then haven't picked it up because I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be able to beat it.
That was the last time you told this story. That's where you were. So.
Okay.
Well,
yes.
Escaping Timberwolf Mountain would be very, very difficult.
Oh? Well, what Timberwolf Mountain are you talking about?
We got all those 75-ton clan Omnimechs running around.
Okay, moving on. So what I've been playing that's kind of mech-related, I guess, is Batman Arkham City. Arkham Knight.
You have not been playing City.
No, I have not been playing Arkham City.
I was going to pick it up to play with you, and then I didn't. So how have you been enjoying Arkham Knight?
It's kind of a mixed bag. Some things I like better than previous Arkham games, and some things I like worse.
Did they actually finally make the PC port work right?
Oh, yeah. It runs fine.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Last time I'd heard that they hadn't actually gotten the thing working right yet.
Actually, so I guess tangentially related is my... For anyone who has been talking to me for the last couple months, has known that my computer freezes randomly for no apparent reason. It got really bad a little while ago, so I decided to just suck it up and get a new graphics card. I went through kind of a dilemma with this, because it did not come with sufficiently long or even the correct power cables to connect to my power supply. I had a hell of a time trying to find any, and it was very late at night, and I apparently did not read the description thoroughly enough, so I ordered the wrong set. So eventually I got the right set, but during the course of this... Actually, I guess when I got the first ROM set, I took my old graphics card out and put the new one in and then went to connect the power supply and found out that I had ordered the wrong cables. So I took that one out and then put the old one into a different PCIe slot and the freezing stopped. So
maybe the slot?
Yeah, it might have just been the slot. But at any rate, I now have a GTX 1080, which is, I think, what almost everyone I know who has a gaming computer runs now. I'm pretty sure that's what both you and Ed are running.
I'm on a 1070.
Oh.
I got a 1070 because the 1080 was brand spanking new when I was getting mine, and it was $800 versus the 1070's $400.
Yeah, and the 1080 is now $400, so it's a lot more reasonable. It's the best processing power per price available right now, which I think the 1070 was when I
The 1070, the 1070 was that.
So that's awesome because then I got to turn all the graphics settings on Arkham Knight way up, and at least I can't tell the difference.
More draw distance, maybe.
Yeah. So I guess the things I dislike about it more are the city is laid out horribly. They give you this incredibly fast Batmobile, and it is hell to navigate because there are so many side alleys, there are no straightaways.
My problem is that the cape gliding they are introducing to Arkham City is almost always still better to get around with.
Yes.
And the Batmobile does have that cool eject so that you can get a running start with it.
Well, I use the Batmobile when I have to move a really long distance.
Yeah, it's better for super long distance travel. The other problem is the cape gliding with the grappling hook to speed you up is a lot more fun of a travel method.
Yeah, that's my big thing.
Which is important for an open world game like this.
Yeah, it's always tricky whenever you're adding something like that into the game. But at the same time, you already had the grapple gun and whatnot. As soon as I heard about the Batmobile coming in, I'm like, that seems like kind of forced.
Like, it's not bad. It's just not. Like, it just is. I just ignore it mostly.
It's the obvious thing to add. It's like the thing they didn't have that you could reasonably add. I never finished Arkham City. I am intending to go back to it probably pretty soon since you're playing it. But my real criticism of it was the previous Arkham games, there were two major game pillars. There was stealth, which was really fun, and combat, which was really fun. They've added the Batmobile as a third, and it's definitely the weak link.
That said, they don't actually make you use it a whole lot.
I feel like there are so many destroy this wave of drones now, Batman, sections.
No, there aren't a whole lot, but there are some side quests that are just that, but, I mean, you can totally skip those unless you're OCD and had to complete everything, because I'm definitely going to.
And I already said my piece about the Riddler's secret racetracks.
Which is, I think, mostly hilarious. I was actually going to say that's one of the things I like about this one, is that the Riddler is actually threatening in this game. Which
it's always nice to have a threatening Riddler. I will agree with you.
Yeah, and his, like, elaborate I'm going to trap Catwoman scheme is kind of nice. And, like, he seems actually menacing, which is better. The absolute best part about this game, though, is the Joker hallucinations. Because you basically just get the Joker being your, like, Batman is a straight man and Joker is a funny man, and, like, they just have this excellent banter that they do the entire game.
Joker's Batman's imaginary friend.
Yeah, and basically, like, mostly Joker's, like, trying to convince him to go insane because then Joker takes over the body because comic book science. But, like, half the time he's just, like, poking fun at you or just, like, giving random one-liners. Or, like, if you die, he gives a bunch of funny quotes. I think one of my favorites is, hey, look at that guy over there. Oh, wait. Hey, Bruce, you don't look so good. What's... Oh. Or, like, Bruce, why is it going dark? We're not dying, are we? Oh, no. Fun things like that. The Riddler also has a couple pretty good you died lines, but mostly the Joker's just great. Overall, I don't know, the game feels less polished even than Arkham City did.
Arkham City's actually pretty polished. It's not as much as Arkham Asylum, I think, but it's still really good. And City really improved the combat. Even though the combat's good in Arkham Asylum, it added a bunch of new enemy types that really help flesh out that combat system and make sure it doesn't get samey, and I think Knight kind of failed to do.
Yeah, I think by contrast, Knight added some new enemy variants that are actively detrimental to fights. They added, like, thugs with shields and, like...
Well, that was in City, and you had to, like, jump over them, too, or get rid of their shield.
Yeah, and this you have to, I'm not even sure how you get rid of the shield. I think electroshock them or something? I'm not entirely sure. Like, they added an enemy variant for each of your sub-weapons, and so there is a specific sub-weapon you have to use on each of them.
That sounds just way too cluttered.
Yeah, it's really cluttered, and that's my problem, is you have so many sub-weapons in this game that you can use in combat. I think it's like 8 of them, and mixing those in with your regular combat, and also trying to keep your combo meter up at the same time, it's less fun than it used to be because it's more complicated.
Well, yeah, because you end up in the situation of, oh, I gotta deal with this guy, and he's only weak to this thing. Now, which button does that again?
Yeah, exactly. Remembering the quick links for all of them is actually kind of a problem for me, because there are a lot of button combinations that you can throw in, and sometimes you do them on accident, and also you have to, like, jump over people constantly. Yeah, I don't know. It's a pain to keep your free flow meter up. You don't have to do that a whole lot in the actual game. Like, mostly, you can just mash buttons and win, but I'd like to do a lot of the combat challenges, and those end up being trial and error oops. I accidentally threw Batarangs twice in a row. I broke my combo. Now I have to start over. I don't know. It's still a lot of fun. Like, obviously, like, I put a ton of time into it already, so obviously it's doing something right. It just feels, like, lacking, and, like, it's weirdly even darker than the previous Arkham games, so.
Yeah. I think it's definitely the weak link if you don't count Arkham Origins, which is just bad.
Yeah, and I've never played Arkham Origins because you said it was just bad.
I have Arkham Origins.
You got it for free with your graphics card, right?
My first one, yep.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I am having a lot of fun with it. It definitely has some flaws, but they're not, like, enough to make me not play it.
They're not game-breaking?
Yeah, they're certainly not game-breaking.
There's little annoyances that actually don't stop you from playing a game. They're just like, ah, damn it, not that again.
The reason I stopped was my brother's Xbox One went back to Wyoming with him, so.
And they got, like, now I'm thinking about, like, some of the things added. Like, they now have Riddler break this object challenges, which become completely irrelevant if you interrogate a Riddler thug and find out its location, and then you just blow it up, and it becomes mostly just like, go to point A, blow thing up, go to point B, blow thing up.
I mean, it's a lot better than a lot of those Ubisoft games with those mechanics, though.
That is true.
At least you have to, like, it makes you play a fight differently because you want to preserve one enemy for last.
Yeah.
So you can interrogate it.
And to be fair, you do get to blow thing up.
That is true. I do get to blow. You get to blow a lot of other thing up, though. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I'm ever going to have a lot more to say about it, even after I beat it, other than it's pretty solid.
Wait till you hit that story twist, though.
That story twist. I already hit one of them, and I'm pretty sure it didn't actually happen, so...
It's not that one.
Oh, it's not that one?
We talked about that one.
Okay. Yeah, no, it says I'm like 34% of the way through story mode, which seems really low to me because I've been playing for a while, but maybe I've been side questing a lot. I don't know. What have you been up to, Jeremy?
So I finished Digimon Cyber Sleuth.
Yay!
I was, at the end of the day.
Pretty good. Like, I got every Digimon in it, so, like, that says something. I played it for exactly 80 hours, so that says something.
Wow. Yeah.
But I don't think it's a good game.
But you played it for 80,
yeah.
for 80 hours?
I mean, to be fair, I put that amount of time into not great games. So.
It was a very good watch numbers go up and then get a reward for it game.
Well, I just had that thought of... I think way more time than 80 hours into Warhammer Space Marine. I don't think that's a good game.
So I was going to play Hacker's Memory next afterwards, but I decided I wanted to something to break it up. So I'm like, I'll finish Mario U. I never did that. Booted up. Yes, I did.
Yeah, no, you finished it. I just don't think you 100%ed it, right?
I didn't 100% it, and I didn't do the Luigi DLC, but I have that on a disc, so it feels like a different game.
Is Mario U the co-op one?
Yeah, the first of the two co-op Wii U Mario games.
Is too easy unless you have somebody actively trying to kill you.
Yes.
I was good at that game.
The killing.
Yes, that part of it.
I wanted to play it because I actually was watching a Let's Play of people who played it when it came out, and one of the guy on the pad was just making platforms like on top of their heads and to troll them, and then Nintendo did their, hey, don't do Let's Plays of our games thing, and they stopped. But they decided, hey, let's finish that in the year of our Lord 2018. So I was like, I should finish that too. Oh, I did.
Yeah, I really feel like you and I just sat down and played it.
That was the Wii one. We did that.
Oh, okay.
And that was a lot more fun, maybe because of that, or also maybe because the Wii one had a lot better level designs. There's one really good world in the Wii U one, and the final boss fight against Bowser, when I went to do it to make sure I'd done it, I'm like, oh yeah, this one was really good. But
I do remember playing the Wii U one with you guys.
We did it on New Year's when I first got my Wii U. We played it together for a bit. But we didn't beat it.
Yeah, I didn't remember beating it.
Kevin was there.
I remember killing Tyler because he wasn't paying attention. That was really funny.
That does happen. Yeah, I tend to like unfocus my eyes in platformers, so mostly just pay attention to movement.
You were looking at something else, I think, and I just walked up, picked you up, and then walked over to the ledge and threw you over.
Yeah, that does sound like a thing you would do, or like a thing Ed would do. Why do all my friends just grief me? I don't understand this.
I want to be a good friend.
To be fair, I was griefing Jeremy just as much, but he was paying attention. So I couldn't actually get away with anything.
So I went and started playing Hacker's Memory, which is mean to me and has preserved my playtime in its loading of my save file from the first one. So it says I've been playing for 92 hours. And I'm like, why? Why would you do this to me, game? Why do you hate me?
What did you start with?
80.
Yeah, from the left.
Which Digimon did you start with?
Oh, I got Tentomon. It doesn't really matter because every Digimon can digivolve technically into anything with enough steps.
No, I was just curious.
You started with the Betamon, right?
Yep.
Is it a fish? Is Betamon a fish?
With legs, but it is aquatic.
It's more of like a tadpole.
I was hoping it was a beta.
That would make sense. But...
It would make sense, but this is Digimon.
I mean, Angemon is definitely just an angel, and Angelwoman is definitely just a female angel.
But Patamon is not a pat.
Is he a Padawan?
Now,
no.
Now, Lucimon Satan mode is exactly what you think it is.
I might actually have to... start playing that game again some more, just because that way Jeremy won't beat it before I do. Although at the same time, MechWarrior Online.
Well, it did decide to freeze when I was going to save it right before you guys came, so
You
have that going for you. It was only one fight, but it was a boss fight, so it took like 10, maybe 15 minutes. So I'm not super looking forward to doing that again. So, you know, maybe I will quit and play some Batman, or maybe I'll just be like, nah, it's time to grind more. I need a Susanoomon and a Gallantmon Crimson mode. And another Lucimon Satan mode.
So something that I just remembered that is recently relevant is apparently No Man's Sky is out of alpha.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still not super interested in it.
I don't know. I was kind of interested in it in the first place, but I was cautiously pessimistic. And that panned out, and now 2 years later, it looks like it might be the game that I wanted it to be, so...
I'm with Jeremy. I wasn't really interested in it in the first place. The main problem with this update that they're doing is that Goodwill's really hard to get back, especially when it's so badly lost.
I said it at the time. Like, No Man's Sky's made a lot of marketing mistakes. I think the actual problem with that game, though, was the core gameplay loop wasn't fun, and I don't think they fixed that. I think if it was a fun game...
Oh, they have actually fixed a lot of those problems. They completely revamped mining and how resource gathering works.
Yeah, but from what I've heard, it just doesn't sound like they've attacked the right problems. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. It sounds like they tweaked a lot of the core gameplay such that it is more fun to actually go do the things you need to do.
Well, I mean, we're kind of on the outside looking in because none of us have played it, so we can't really be saying with any real set of certainty, yeah, they changed this and did it for the better, because all of us haven't played it.
Yeah, no, if it's cheap at some point, I might pick it up, because Ed has expressed interest in playing it, and they actually have actual multiplayer now.
Yeah, I'm not interested in it, so I won't.
Also, speaking of things Zach isn't interested in, the assignment this week, Ninja Gaiden.
Wow, that went well.
Wasn't wrong.
No, I'm not saying it was wrong. It was actually remarkably well linked there. Especially for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes our segues just go right off that cliff. So,
Like the ninja in this video game.
Yep, he goes off of cliffs a lot.
But he does hang on.
But it doesn't super hang on.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. So,
Ninja Gaiden 2 is the sequel to Ninja Gaiden, obviously. Another NES game. It doesn't do that weird NES 2 thing. It feels like a sequel to Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, it does actually feel like a direct successor to this game.
Yeah, it's not some weird turn-based RPG or something.
Yeah, you're not killing insects and shooting air up Donkey Kong's butt. So Ryu Hayabusa, that's the guy, right?
Yeah, Ryu Hayabusa.
His girlfriend got kidnapped again.
Yeah,
because it's the 80s in video games. So he's got to go rescue her by being in a bad Castlevania game.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
That's remarkably accurate. I hadn't really thought about it because I don't really like Castlevania either, but... Yeah.
I mean, we compared the first Ninja Gaiden to Castlevania a lot. It's got the same HP bar. It's got the same collection of power-up method. It's just got a very different weapon. And you're more mobile. Your jump is not restricted.
You can climb walls.
Yeah. You've got a lot more movement options, but, like, the levels aren't designed as well around them. This game was really remarkable to me, because usually when you play a bad platformer, there's something wrong with the physics. The jumps don't feel right, or landing doesn't feel good. That all feels remarkable in Ninja Gaiden. It's perfect. It's almost as good as Super Mario Brothers. But the level design and some of the challenges they put in your way are so bad that it makes up for it. And it just, I've never played a bad platformer that was bad for that reason. It's always the perspective's wrong, or something's wrong with the jump physics, or the levels are just outright unfair. This is just ruined by its own bad ideas. So that's kind of remarkable about it.
Certainly an achievement.
I say, is Alex Kidd not fall into that category? I feel like they were mostly just ruined by their own bad ideas.
The jumps don't feel very good in Alex Kidd, though.
That's fair.
And there are mechanics that don't work the same way in all of them.
What Mario Odyssey really taught me is what's fun about a platformer is the way you move. Castlevania, this doesn't apply to, so maybe I'm talking out of my ass a little bit. But if you make moving fun, that's more than half the battle. It's fun to move in Sonic, it's fun to move in Mario.
To be fair, that's not just platformers. If movement is fun, usually the game is going to be fun.
But I don't think movement is fun in Doom or Halo, and those are still amazing games. I think it's a genre. And I wouldn't call movement fun in Grand Theft Auto, another great game.
I think it's still important in all games, but I think in platformers, because that is your main mechanic.
Yeah.
It is your main selling point. If it's not fun, you really don't have anything to fall back on, whereas every other genre has something else going for it.
And moving in Ninja Gaiden is fun. You feel like a ninja. You get to jump and do cool flips, you get to run on walls, you have a cool sword attack.
You get sweet ninjutsu that you can't choose because you more or less pick them up accidentally.
So yeah, let's talk about that. Like Castlevania, it has little, they're not candles, are they paper lanterns? I honestly can't remember.
They're orbs of some sort.
I just thought they were floating orbs.
That you have to attack to release power-ups. The problem is because you have a short-range sword instead of a long-range whip, you've usually collected the power-up before you've even seen it as soon as you slash the orb, so you don't know if it's ammo unless you look at your ammo counter. And because it has that Castlevania, or I should say that early Castlevania, since the later ones did fix this, thing where if you pick up a weapon, your old weapon is gone, you have very little control over what weapon you get to keep.
Yeah, and I actually got pretty good about getting those to drop in front of me rather than picking them up immediately. The problem is, normally they drop right in front of an enemy, and then I'd have to, like, awkwardly choose between trying to jump over the power-up or deal with the enemy.
Well, it's... The other problem that I had with the power-ups specifically, they're at an awkward height for
Yeah.
They're not at the top of your jump. They're not at the bottom of your jump. They're in this weird middle ground. So sometimes I spent like 10, 15 seconds just bouncing up and down next to a power-up trying to get the right timing on it.
Yeah, we were talking about that off the mics a little bit, and Jeremy pointed out, like, that's fine in Castlevania, because if they're at the top of your jump arc, they'd be hard to hit with your delay whip, but the whip stays out for a while, so you just hit it on the way down. It feels like they really just copied the placement from Castlevania, but didn't think why it was that way.
It's kind of weird, because your attack is actually decently quick, and that's part of the problem of actually getting it.
Enough.
It's a little bit, it goes back to what Jeremy was saying about how everything works okay, but the ideas themselves kind of let this whole thing down.
The enemies aren't very interesting either. Like, can we remember any specifically? There are some guys that throw barrels at you.
There are some guys that run for a bit and then shoot.
There are bats.
The guys that jump out of the freaking bottom of the screen that you can't dodge because you don't know they're there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my problem with this game is that none of the enemies were particularly interesting, but you still had to react to them very quickly. So, like, a lot of the guys that move at you, you have to, like, get out of their way to attack them if you weren't expecting them, and then you go back and they will immediately respawn, so you have to like figure out how to move forward.
You basically have to deal with them twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you should happen to get hit by them once, you're going to get bounced backwards, and odds are good you might get hit with them again because they're now back there, because like, these will infinitely respawn as soon as they get off of the screen.
Maybe backing up in response to seeing an enemy is a bad response, but it's one I've definitely learned over playing many video games for many years.
Well, space gives you time to react to
exactly.
a problem, and lets you come up with a solution to deal with it.
So something Zach touched on very briefly, another idea it borrows from Castlevania, is when you get hit, you get stunned backwards, so you can fall into pits. But again, because the enemies aren't... let me retake that. But the enemies in Castlevania are very slow and deliberate, like you are. The Medusa heads fly in a very specific pattern, and you can see them coming from a screen away.
Yeah, but not very quickly, right?
Yeah. All the enemies with projectiles always have a few moments of delay before they can throw the projectile, so there's always time to respond to them. Ninja Gaiden wants to be faster, probably because it's a game about a ninja, but that means there's not near as much time to respond to these enemies, so there's a lot more flying back when you're hit. But I think we should all talk about the thing that made all three of us quit the game, because...
Rage!
They tried something that I think is actually a very interesting idea for a platformer, which is on the third stage, there's this wind mechanic where you can see these, I don't know if they're supposed to be leaves or just a visual indicator of the wind, but it will go either straight down and then you don't jump as high, sort of in a arc forward and then you jump a little further and move forward faster, or kind of in an arc back towards you, which pushes you back and makes it so you can't really jump across pits. So this makes it so that certain jumps you need to wait for the wind to be with you before you take them, which is kind of an interesting mechanic. The problem is most of the jumps on the level just kind of work that way, and the only thing you can do is wait for the wind to be in your favor.
It's also counterintuitive, because if you want to make a game, you know, around, we want this to be kind of fast-paced and quick. If your players are standing around waiting for the wind to change to be with them, and it's random, as far as I could tell, the wind doesn't have a pattern.
No. It seemed to be pretty consistent for me.
It felt like it was random to me as well.
Yeah, well.
Because sometimes it would be with me, then it would be against me, then it would be down, then it would be down, then it would be against me, then it would be with me, then it would be down, then it'd be down.
And it felt like it was on a timer to me, so.
Well, it's on a timer, it's just it's random as to which one it picks.
Yeah, my experience seemed to be like Zach, so I might be wrong. I didn't do any extensive testing on it, but it felt pretty random to me. And just having to redo this entire level with this unfun mechanic is really demoralizing, and I didn't find it worth it. It just really struck me how bad this mechanic was in a game that otherwise actually seemed very polished. It really struck me as, okay, we have to ship it, and that's what we came up with, so that's what we're going to go with. It seemed to me like a company like Nintendo would never let something that's turned out to be so unfun fly. It would have gotten cut.
It's one of those things that, I don't know if I've mentioned, but it's an arbitrary difficulty. It's like, we're going to put this in just to make this level a little harder. And it does kind of... I mean, this was the same time when they were making the games harder because rental, right?
It was, but I don't think that's what happened here specifically. I mean, I know Ninja Gaiden 3, they took out continues for that reason, but I'm pretty sure this is in the Japanese version of the game, too. And it was mostly changes to the American games for that reason, because rental in Japan was considered illegal.
Ah,
I was going to say, Zach mentioned that it's arbitrarily difficult at some points, and that reminds me that there are quite a few, like, I want to be the guy style moments. Like, I'm not sure what to even call them anymore, because that's how I've thought about them
so
forever.
So Seamus Young wrote this great article of specifically about Grand Theft Auto 3 he called Do It Again, Stupid, which were all these little bits in Grand Theft Auto 3 that are like just enemies that will fly into you at the end of missions that you have no idea are coming until you actually do it, that just make you replay the level. Yeah. So that's what I think of them as.
That's kind of my problem with Ninja Gaiden as a whole, is there are a lot of those things where, like, you're committed to a jump, and then there's an enemy on the platform you're jumping to, and you had to have known it was there in order to have avoided it.
It seems like it has almost a Game Boy problem of the screen being too close, and that's really weird for an NES game, especially since it doesn't, like, look huge or anything. Like, Mega Man looks bigger than the Ninja and Ninja Gaiden, but I never had those sorts of problems in Mega Man.
No, I definitely agree. The ones that spring to mind for me are the ninjas that randomly jump out of the ground at you, and unless you know they're coming, it's basically an HP tax.
Yeah, well, and what I got used to doing is just progressing very slowly, pixel by pixel.
Which goes against the idea. It's the same thing as in Mario, and like the idea is it's fun when you're moving fast, but it's easy when you're moving slow. But the problem is, it's not fun when you're moving fast in this game.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring up the same thing, but I think what it is this game is bad at encouraging you to go fast. It doesn't have any of the mechanics that Mario has to trick you into going quickly, like the stars in the early ones that make you want to get as far as you can while you're invincible, heedless of pits, or in the new ones you have the red coins that if you manage to collect them all in a time limit, you get a power-up. It doesn't have anything like that. And to hit point tax, I agree with you guys, but to be just a little fair to this game, I never died due to lack of hit points. I think it's actually very generous with them.
That is true. I did not ever die due to lack of health. I died due to falling down an endless death pit.
I died to the boss a couple times due to lack of HP.
That's fair, but that's also a little different, because it's not like the boss is doing anything unfair to get you down like that.
I think I might have died to HP points at one point, but I think most of it was pits.
So yeah, it's fascinating to me how unfun this game was when they clearly spent so long making sure the physics were right. It's a real shame.
It wasn't a shock to me, but I don't like platformers.
It continues with its cutscenes. They're as good and kind of interesting as they were before. And I do think it should get some points because it basically invented the way game stories have been told since. By invented, I mean continued after the first one, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't at least mention them.
Yeah, I mean, there was that cool scene where Mystery Guy shows up, and like, they look pretty decent, and they present story. Most video games of this time had no story outside of the instruction manual.
So do we have any final thoughts on this? I found myself really disappointed with it, but that, like, middle bit, it's just, I shouldn't say middle bit, it's not even in the middle, but that wind mechanic is just so unfun and frustrating that I didn't want to even save scum my way through this game.
I will say I liked the beginning of this game better than the beginning of the first one. Because it starts out with a lot of, like, vertical elements, and they really take advantage of the fact that you can ninja climb early on.
Yeah, but you can't really easily get onto the platforms you're ninja climbing on,
yeah,
so
it does definitely kind of fall down a little bit.
Especially, that's what really, really killed the third level, is because you can't just climb up on top of the thing you're climbing on, you have to jump away from it first. So it was really easy to just immediately die to that. So I'd avoid it, it's just not fun.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably not worth playing. Compared to the original Ninja Gaiden.
All right, speaking of the original Ninja Gaiden, we have a list on our website ranking all the games we've played from best to worst. Ninja Gaiden is in the middle-ish. At the top, though, is Chrono Trigger, a game that surprisingly doesn't really have any ninjas. It's a lot more Western-influenced. At the bottom, City Connection, a game that would greatly benefit from the addition of ninjas.
I don't think anything can help that game.
What if you were a ninja driving a car?
Given how that game has functioned, it wouldn't help it.
And in the middle is Blades of Steel, another game that I think would have been aided by the addition of ninjas, but maybe that's my ninja bias in that case.
No, ninjas playing ice hockey sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, ninjas are actually in that game. The Boston Ninjas are in that game.
Is that a team?
Yes, the Boston Ninjas. It's a weird name, I know.
You know, the traditional ninja place, that's where Chuck Norris is from, right? And all the American ninjas, Boston.
Well, Boston...
I can't do a Boston accent.
Yeah, I don't.
Boston.
I don't actually know what a Boston accent sounds like. So
scrolling up a little bit from Blades of Steel is the original Ninja Gaiden. We're all pretty much in agreement it's worse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I like the way this one started more, but I think you guys have convinced me over this episode that it's not as good.
All right. So the next platformer-like game we have on here is Contra 3: The Alien War.
I prefer Contra 3. Pretty substantial.
I prefer Contra 3.
I think I agree. So the next one on here is Mega Man 2, the Game Boy one.
This is where it starts getting kind of iffy. I think I'll give it to Mega Man, but...
I would too.
Yeah, the level design in Mega Man is just better. Not by much, it's pretty bad level design, but...
It was not super great on the Game Boy parts, but...
So Zach didn't play that platformer or that platformer with us.
What were they?
Sonic the Hedgehog and Kirby's Dream Land. He did play Super Mario 64 DS with us. And I actually think I might like this a little more than Mario 64 DS just because of how bad that game controls.
To be fair, I think this game controls just about as bad, so...
What's wrong with the controls of this game, though? Like, the what you have to do with them is bad, but I feel like the movement and all that is actually solid.
That's fair enough, yeah. I would agree that this one does actually control better than that, but I just... This game doesn't have the ideas. Like, it falls on its face in a way that's really unsatisfying. So I'd say it's probably worse than Mario 64 redone.
Tyler, you're the tiebreaker.
I mean, I do really like Mario 64, but that was a bad port. So
it is.
I think I would have to give it to Ninja Gaiden, slightly.
They both kind of have the same problem. They're both failing colossally, despite having good ideas.
Okay, so speaking of good ideas, I think we are going to talk about one of the games Zach didn't play. How do we think it compares to Sonic the Hedgehog? The original for Sega Genesis.
I think disfavorably.
I think so, too, because Sonic has that really annoying, up you fell, time to do half the level again thing that is the reason it's this low. But it controls probably just about as well, and it definitely has more legs, I think.
And we were talking about how games encourage speed, and like Sonic has those points, especially in the second world, where you have to wait. But it does do a good job encouraging you wanting to go fast.
So of the three games left, the one that I can think of a reasonable comparison is Final Fight.
Okay.
Final Fight has some pretty kind of combat mechanics, like most brawlers.
That is true. It is gorgeous, though, for the time.
I think it's got the same... It's got the problem of a bad port, especially because it's an arcade game.
Yeah, this one... And they ported out the Ninja, too.
Though I think I'd have to say I think the bad port is better than this game.
Yeah, I was actually initially leaning Final Fight anyway.
Yeah, and I think I don't have a good reason why, but I think I agree with you.
So, I had more fun with it.
So Ninja Gaiden will go at number 129. I should say Ninja Gaiden 2 will go at number 129. I believe exactly 20... No, not exactly 20 below its predecessor, but about 20 below its predecessor, above Mario 64 DS and below Final Fight.
That feels like a good spot for it, actually.
And because I know someone out there would want to call me on it, it's actually the Bruins. I'm not that stupid.
It's the Boston Bruins, not the Boston Ninjas.
Okay.
I knew it was the Bruins, but hockey has like the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? That's a real team.
That is a real team.
So I didn't want to risk it. Although I think basketball has the worst names. Looking at you, Utah Jazz.
The Oklahoma Thunder.
Lightning and the Thunder. I don't like that song.
I also don't like that song. Everyone else I know does.
Yeah, so. I know. It's very frustrating.
I'm the odd man out. I kind of like that song.
Yeah,
It is not my favorite song they've done.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Imagine Dragons anyway, but I like Radioactive. That was a good song.
So speaking of dragons, Zach, what are we going to play next week?
So it's the middle of July when we're recording this episode. I think I want to... be a little bit colder because it's way too freaking hot here. So we're going to play something made by Blizzard. I'm thinking Warcraft 3 and its expansion, The Frozen Throne.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if you're going to extend the cold thing.
I'm Blizzard. It makes sense to me.
Well, yeah, but then he went even further.
So next time on Last Time, it's a lot better than the first game that studio made. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2018. All games, movies, and other media mentioned in this podcast are copyright their respective owners. If you wish to listen to more episodes, visit us at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can see the entire archive. If you wish to get in contact with us, you can email us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. This episode is over. Try listening to another one?